Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Poniatowski, habari gani?
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you, Prof. And I do hope that you've had a good day.
Yes, praise God.
Praise God indeed. Praise God indeed. Well, we're going to be speaking to you this week about, one of the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventists, which is creation. And of course, Genesis, the book, tells us the story of the six-day creation week, followed by the first Sabbath. And so we want to learn more about that. Do summarize, Pastor, for us, please, the events of the first week of the creation according to the scripture.
Yeah, thank you very much for this question. Actually, the Bible is very clear about this, and it says that God created the entire world in six literal days. And the creation can be presented in such a way. The first 3 days, let us start even with the first, I would say, second verse of the Bible that says that the earth was empty and void. So, in other words, we can say the earth was empty and without form. So, what God is doing in the first 3 days of creation, He creates a form. And in the next 3 days of creation, He populates this form with the, let us say, inhabitants. For example, the first day, the light was created. In the fourth day, the sun, stars, and moon were created. In the second day, again, the space was created for fishes and birds. And He got separated water from the water so that atmosphere appeared and the environment for fishes appeared. And on the fifth day, He fills this environment with the birds and fishes. And on the third day, He creates an environment for animals and man. And on the sixth day, He fills this environment with animals and man. But what we need to understand about the creation, that the entire creation is made for man. So the man is ultimate purpose of God. And everything else, the world is supposed to be a home for the first couple, for Adam and Eve, where they're supposed to live. And everything that is done for man. Yeah. I would like also to add one.
Yeah, okay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one interesting detail. For example, we know that every time when God finished a day, He says that it is good. But one day is missing this phrase. And this is the second day. So after each day, we have the same phrase. God looked at the creation and said, it is good, it is good, it is good. But on the second day, this phrase is missing. And of course, it is a little bit enigmatic why it is missing. But some scholars say, maybe it is missing because when God says it is good, it means that it is good for man. And on the second day, it was just a space for birds and fishes that was created. And it is not beneficial for man very much. That is why it is missing on the second day. But in all other days, we can see it is good. So what I want to say, the entire creation is for man. Man is ultimate purpose of creation because everything that is created for him, for his blessings, for his benefits, so that he can enjoy this world and living in this world.
Did he create the days also?
Again, please?
Did he create the days?
Oh, yeah. So this is a good question. This is a good question. And it is a question about time, how the time was done. Do you see? And we maybe don't have like a definite answer to this question. But what is clear in the Bible that he introduced days. So there was like a first day, second day, third day, and so on. So that is why we can say that he introduced days, but we cannot say based on the Bible he created days on this particular moment or they existed before. Of course, we know that our day is related to the rotation of the Earth around its axis. Yes, but we don't know exactly how the time is measured in heaven.
All right, so we cannot say whether he created the days on that week or they were pre-existing. That we cannot say for sure.
Yes, yes.
All right, did God's word depend on pre-existing matter when he created?
Okay, this is another good question, because there is a doctrine that is very popular in theology, and it's called creatio ex nihilo in Latin, or creation out of nothing. And church, not only church, but like many people believe that it is true, but there are some people who believe that it is not true. And they believe that matter existed forever, and what God did, he just shaped this matter or did something with the matter so that to make a creation. But I believe the Bible has enough evidence to say that God really created out of nothing. So, for example, in the book of Hebrews, we can read a verse that says that creates out of nothing. And also there are many other verses that can say about this. First of all, verses that can say about the eternity of God, that God, who is from the beginning, who is the first and the last. So it means nothing existed before God. And also the verses that say that God can from invisible make visible. So that what doesn't exist, he can make something that exists from what didn't exist before. So all those verses actually say that God creates out of nothing. But of course, not everything is created out of nothing. Yes. Like, for example, man was not created out of nothing. He created by God from the dust or from the soil. Yes. But the soil was created before, and it was created out of nothing. Yeah. So I believe we have enough evidence in scripture to support this idea that God created out of nothing. And by the way, this idea of creation out of nothing is quite quite old. The first time when we can explicitly find it, of course, it is not in the Bible. It is in a Deuterocanonical book, in the second book of Maccabee, when mother instructs her son, and she says, look at the stars and just think that God created everything out of nothing. And it means that this idea of creation out of nothing is very, very old, because sometimes some scholars say that it was developed much later during the Christian church, when church fathers argued with the Gnostics. But this text supports that this idea is quite ancient, and it was a worldview of the Jewish people a long time ago.
Yeah, that is quite an interesting one. Now, what does the story of creation tell us about the Creator himself? And how does the order of events inform our understanding of God's intentionality in everything that he does?
Okay, so actually, when we read the story of creation, and especially when we compare the story of creation in the Bible and similar stories in ancient Near East, you can see a very sharp contrast between them. Because the Bible emphasizes that God is a loving God, and he creates people for because he loves people and he wants them to enjoy this life. But when we look at the ancient Near East stories, we can see a completely different picture about the creation. For example, one very famous epic, it is called Epic of Atrahasis. It is very, very old. It is older than the Bible, even, because it's dated to some Babylonian times. And in this epic, the creation is portrayed in a completely different way. So it says that there was one supreme God who was just like almost always sleeping. He didn't do anything very much. And he created one time like lesser gods. And the task of the lesser gods was to dig channels. We can understand it is Babylonia. And in Babylon, this irrigation system is very important. So the task of gods was to dig channels. And gods were very much tired of this. And that is why they created a man. So now, do you see, the task of a man was to dig channels. And this is a sharp contrast with what the Bible says, because in ancient Near East, people were created to be slaves of God. And in the Bible, yes, because they need to dig channels, they need to work very hard so to provide something for God. But in the Bible, the picture is completely different, because in the Bible, God created a man and he created him as a king. He gave him this land so that he can rule over it, so that he can just be a steward of God on this land in the sense that he can manage this land. And we can say that he is created as a king. But in the ancient Near East, a man is created simply as a slave. And when we can speak about the sequence of creation, it also tells us about it, because do you see, it is a progression. And this progression, like God, as I said, he is making a home for the first couple. And he creates first people when everything is ready. Everything is ready and everything is perfect. Everything is very good. And after that, he creates people in order so that they can enjoy living in this world.
Yeah, beautiful ones indeed. Now, why then did God create the world? Surely he had been enough on his plate, but he creates the world. What was the purpose of creation?
Okay, so do you see, maybe we cannot answer this question. It's not so easy to answer it. Yeah, it is like, do you see, we have a similar question in the book of John in chapter 14, when Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are plenty of space or plenty of mansions, yes? But he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And somebody can ask a question, okay, if there are plenty of space in the Father's house, why is there need to prepare an additional place? Yeah, so it's enough place for everyone, yeah. So, I believe it is the same question when we speak about why God created the world. Most probably he had some specific purpose why he did this. And maybe not everything is revealed to us. But what we can say that when the world was created, most probably sin had already existed by that time. And we can find even some hints on the evil in the world in the story of creation. For example, there is a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yes. And what is interesting, when we compare the story of creation with the story of recreation in the book of Revelation, we do not see this tree of good and evil in the Revelation story. So it is not mentioned there. So what else do we have? We have darkness in the story of creation. And when we read the story of Revelation, we can see that there is no darkness, there is no night anymore. So it looks like when God created this world, in the universe, the evil, the sin had already existed. And in this case, and we know, for example, from the writings of Ellen G. White, that there was a council in heaven when God the Father and God the Son, they discussed what they will do even before the creation, what they will do in case if sin, if the man that is created will commit a sin. Okay, so that is why I believe maybe it was like, I am maybe afraid to say like this, it was like a test case, or God created world and what God created people, just to see how people will behave in this great controversy between good and evil. But it also tells a lot about God himself, because do you see, God didn't leave people even when they committed a sin. But even in this situation, he loves them so much, he loves us so much, that he is willing to give away the most precious that he has. He is ready to sacrifice his only son so that we can be saved.
Just to digress a little bit, you're talking about God creating the world and the evil, seemingly having pre-existed before creation. Would you then say God created evil? I mean, we see in Isaiah, he mentions
There is a verse in Isaiah that says that God creates darkness and creates evil.
Do you think that he created the evil before that?
No. We need to understand this verse in the context. And in the context, if we read the book of Isaiah, we can see that, of course, it doesn't mean that God creates evil. But it says, in the sense, in the context of the people of Israel, so that people of Israel went to the Babylonian exile, and after that, they came back from the Babylonian exile. And this is the general context where this text is found. And Isaiah meant that God didn't create evil, but he maybe allowed evil to touch the people of Israel because of their disobedience. But it doesn't mean that he created evil or he created darkness. By the way, in the story of Genesis, in the first chapters, it's very clearly stated that God created light. But nothing is said that God created darkness. And we know very well that God didn't create evil. And he didn't create Satan. He didn't create sin. Yeah, but there was a rebellion in heaven. And, of course, this is something that is impossible to explain, how it happened.
You're then saying that the verse in Leviticus, I think, that talks about God having created darkness and light not be correct?
Not in Leviticus, in Isaiah.
In Isaiah, because it talks about darkness as well. So that is a miswriting. It should not say created.
Not miswriting. It is a metaphorical language that is used in this chapter.
I see.
But it doesn't mean that Isaiah meant that God created darkness or that God created evil. Completely not. Totally not. We cannot say like this.
All right. Now, is there any evidence outside of the Bible itself that supports the Bible account of how this world came to be?
Okay. So, do you see? Yes, as I mentioned already, there are many stories in ancient Near East, and not maybe in the ancient Near East, most probably in every land or on every continent where we go, we can find some like myth or some legends or some stories about the creation. But there is a big difference between them. And one of these differences I already demonstrated, and there are many, many other differences between those stories. And how I can explain it? I can explain it in a very, very simple way. So do you see, when God created Adam and Eve, this story was transmitted from one generation to another generation. But what happened with the people? People started rebelling against God. And when they rebelled against God, they changed those stories. That is why, for example, what we have in ancient Near East is different from what we have in the Bible. Because in the Bible, God transmitted or he revealed to Moses the true story of how the world was created. But in other religions or in other cultures, we also have a similar story, but with many, many differences. And these differences, they reflect a completely different theology behind those stories. So people understood God differently. I will just give you one example. The Tower of Babel. What was the reason why people built the tower? They were afraid that God will send a second flood on the earth. That is why they wanted to safeguard themselves and build the tower that could protect them from the future flood. But if we read chapter 9 of the book of Genesis, God clearly said that I'm not going to destroy this world with the flood anymore. So it means that these people simply forgot about what God said, or they didn't believe God, And they maybe thought that, okay, God can change his mind. So do you see this perception of God was changing in the mind of the people who rebelled against him? And very soon God appeared to be a kind of like a monster for them. And it is reflected in their stories about creation and about the flood. For example, the same Atrahasis epic, it has another very interesting detail about the reason of the flood.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Bible says very clearly that the reason of the flood was the sin of the people, people, we can say, destroyed themselves by their sins,
mm-hmm.
and that is why flood came. So the Atrahasis epic has a completely different story. As I mentioned already, they created man in order that man can dig channels. And man started multiplying, so they filled the earth. And when they filled the earth, they became very noisy, very noisy. And this supreme God, who was all the time sleeping, it disturbed this noise, disturbed his rest, his sleep. And he started sending some kind of famine, some kind of disasters on the people in order to destroy them or
mm-hmm.
to decrease the population of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, he sent a flood to the people. So do you see the big difference? If in the Bible we can see that the reason of the flood is a God, sin of the people, in the ancient Near East stories we can see that people even like innocent, because they didn't do anything wrong, they were just noisy, and God is very capricious God who just destroyed them because they disturbed his sleep. You understand? Yeah. So this is the different mentality, different worldview, and it reflects the worldview of people who rebelled against God, and they don't see God in the right light, in the right picture of God.
Mm.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, but Prof, we're going to be leaving it there, and we will connect to you again in the next 2 days. Thank you so much for joining us for today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Have a good evening. Thank you.
The same to you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.